Not a good time for introspection, in my view. Look, I've got a load of prawns in my wagon, and if I'm held up any longer, they're going to be walking home, moaned a carter. Why doesn't he just jump?
He's thinking about it. It's a big step after all.
The man on the edge turned his head when he heard a shuffling noise. William was sidling along the ledge, trying hard not to look down.
Morning. Come to try and talk me out of it, have you?
I...
William really tried not to look down. The ledge had looked a lot wider from below. He was regretting the whole thing.
I wouldn't dream of it.
I'm always open to being talked out of it.
Yes, yes. Would you care to give me your name and address? Said William.
There was a hitherto unsuspected nasty breeze up here, gusting treacherously around the rooftops. It fluttered the pages of his notebook.
Why?
Because from this height onto solid ground, it's often hard to find out that sort of thing afterwards, said William,
trying not to breathe out too much.
And if I'm going to put this in the paper, it'd look much better if I say who you were.
What paper?
William pulled a copy of the Times out of his pocket. It rattled in the wind as he wordlessly handed it over. The man sat down and read it, his lips moving, his legs dangling over the drop.
So this is like things that happen, he said. Like a town crier, but written down.
That's right. So, what was your name?
What do you mean, was?
Well, you know, obviously,
said William wretchedly. He waved his hand towards the void and almost lost his balance.
If you...
Arthur Crank.
And where did you live, Arthur?
Prattle Alley.
And what was your job?
There you go with the was again. The watch usually give me a cup of tea, you know.
A warning bell went off in William's head.
You jump a lot, do you?
Only the difficult bits.
And they are?
The climbing up bits. I don't do the actual jumping, obviously. That's not a skilled job. I'm more into the cry for help aspect.
William tried to grip sheer wall.
And the help you want is?
Could you make it $20?
Or you jump?
Ah, well, not exactly jump, obviously. Not the whole jump. Not as per such. But I shall continue to threaten to jump, if you get me drift.
The building seemed a lot higher to William than it had done when he climbed the stairs. The people below were a lot smaller. He could make out faces looking up. Foul old Ron was there with his scabby dog and the rest of the crew, because they had an uncanny gravitational attraction to impromptu street theatre. He could even make out Coffin Henry's "Will Threaten for Food" sign, and he could see the queues of wagons by now paralysing half the city. He could feel his knees buckling. Arthur grabbed him.
"Oi, this is my patch," he said. "Find your own spot."
"You said that jumping off wasn't a skilled job,"
said William, trying to concentrate on his notes as the world spun gently around him.
"What was your job, Mr. Crank?"
"Steeplejack."
"Arthur Crank, you come down here right this minute."
Arthur looked down.
"Oh, Gord, they've gone and fetched the wife," he said.
"Constable Fiddiman here says you're..."
The distant pink face of Mrs. Crank paused to listen again to the watchman standing next to her.
"Interfering with the mercantile well-being of the city, you old fool."
"Can't argue with the wife,"
said Arthur, giving William a sheepish look.
"I'll hide your trousers another time, you silly old man. You come down here, or I'll give you what for."
3 happy married years," said Arthur cheerfully, waving at the distant figure. "The other 32 haven't been too bad either. But she can't cook cabbage worth a damn."
"Really?"
said William, and dreamily fell forward. He woke up lying on the ground, which was what he'd expected, but still in a three-dimensional shape, which he hadn't. He realised that he was not dead. One reason for this was the face of Corporal Nobbs of the Watch looking down at him. William considered that he had lived a relatively blameless life, and if he died he did not expect to encounter anything with a face like Corporal Nobbs, the worst thing ever to hit a uniform if you didn't count seagulls.
"Ah, you're all right," said Nobbs, looking slightly disappointed.
"Feel faint?" William murmured.
"I could give you the kiss of life if you like," said Nobbs.
Unbidden by William, various muscles spasmed and jerked him vertical so fast that his feet momentarily left the ground.
"Much better now,"
he shouted.
"Only we learnt it down at Watch House and I haven't had a chance to try it yet. Fit as a fiddle," William wailed. "I've been practising on me hand and everything. Never felt better." "Old Arthur Crank's always doing that," said the watchman. "He's just after tobacco money. Still, everyone clapped when he carried you down. It's amazing how he can still climb drain pipes like that."
"Is it really?"
William felt oddly empty.
"It was great when you were sick. I mean, from 4 stories up, it looked quite pretty. Someone ought to have taken a picture."
"Got to be going,"
William screamed. "I must be going mad."